Lord. Praise God. Well, like I said, this morning I'm going to talk to you. The title to my sermon is called Perfect Peace. And there's only one way in life that you can really have perfect peace, and that's if the Prince of Peace comes and dwells in your heart. I mean, you can try to have peace by doing a lot of things or buying a lot of things or accomplishing a lot of things, but it won't be peace that'll last. It might last for a day or two or a couple of days, but eventually a little turmoil will set back in there. But the only way to really have perfect peace is to invite the Lord into your heart. And my first scripture is Isaiah 26, 2 and 4. And this is out of the King James Bible. It says, "Open ye the gates, that the righteous nations which seek the truth may enter in." And I just want to tell you that when Scripture talks about gates in the natural, we know that there was natural gates. But I want you to know that there's a psalm that says, "Lift up your head, ye gates, and lift up your head, ye everlasting doors. And who will come in? The King of Glory, mighty in battle." You know, there is no mightier in battle than Him. But how do we lift up our head, ye gates, and lift up your head, ye everlasting doors? And the way that you begin to lift them up is by acknowledging Him, trusting in Him, praising Him in all things, regardless of what's going on around you. Then all of a sudden, the gates will swing wide open, and His presence will come in. And when His presence come in, the peace of God will begin to settle in. You know, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And when He's the Prince of Peace, when He comes in, the peace floods in, comes in like a flood, you know. And that first one is, open ye the gates, that the righteous nations which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. And I'm going to tell you what, if you find yourself being in a position where you're not having very much peace, it's because you're not trusting a whole lot. And you have to begin to give things to the Lord and trust Him with them, you know. Next verse says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." And you know, in the Lord your God is everlasting strength. Your strength comes to an end. Your strength falters. You know, you get tired. God don't get tired. His strength is everlasting. And I'm going to tell you what, His strength is made perfect in your weakness. And as long as we try to rely on our own strength, it's not going to get the job done. We'll fall short. You know, I talked to you last week about the hem of His garment, you know, and I told you the story of how Lois years ago said that to me. She asked me, she said, "Brother Oscar, has the Lord ever dealt with you about the hem of His garment and about the woman with the issue of blood?" And I told her, no, He hasn't. And, you know, guess what? He started dealing with me instantly about that. I love that. The Lord's like that, you know. He'll send somebody to ask you something. And, you know, I could have given her a lot of, "Well, yeah, I kind of think it might be this," or "I kind of think it," and, you know, and I'm going to tell you what, folks, when it comes to the things of the Lord, we need to throw our opinions in the garbage can. We need to admit that we don't know, we don't understand. God, I don't know. Will you teach me? Will you lead me? Will you guide me? I'm going to tell you what, when I first got saved, I don't know how I came to say that to the Lord, but I said that to the Lord constantly. I would read His word, and I would close my Bible, and I would say, "Lord, I don't know what I just read. You have to teach me. You have to lead me. You have to guide me. I don't know." And you know what? He started opening things up to me that it was years and years later, I mean a lot of years later, before I ever even heard anybody preach on them. You know, He started opening up the sovereignty of God. He started opening up sonship. He started opening up a lot of different things to me that it took years before I heard some of those things taught on or preached on. And a couple of times I said things because God had made them real to me,
And I had people say to me about the sovereignty of God, well, you can't believe that. I said, oh, but I do. I do. I do. And you know, there's a scripture in Ephesians that says, and he works all things. You know how many all things are? All things. It ain't a few things. It ain't a couple things. It's all things. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. And I'm going to tell you what. If you're struggling with the things that he's working out in you, then you're struggling with against his will. So you might as well just give up and say, okay, Lord, I'm not going to fight this thing. I'm just going to roll with it. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to give myself to you. I'm going to rely on your everlasting strength because you are the Lord God Jehovah. You are the King, you know. Next, I'm going to read that to you out of the Amplified Bible. It's the same verses there, and except I'm only going to read from verse 3. And it says, you will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind is both inclined and its character is stayed on you because he commits himself to you. Leans on you and hopes confidently in you. So trust in the Lord. Commit yourself to him. Lean on him. Hope confidently in him forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock, the rock of ages. And that's what he is. And I'm going to tell you what, that was a great gospel song years ago. They used to sing Rock of Ages, Cleft in Thee. You know, and a lot of those old songs, they were great songs. But be honest with you, he was that rock that followed them about in the wilderness. And you know what? He's the very rock that's inside of you. You know, when the pilgrims came over to America, they landed at a place called the Rock of Gibraltar, you know. And I think over the years, that rock has kind of been beaten down by all of the different waves and things that's beat on it. But you know what? He's the rock that never gets beat down. He never decreases. If anything, he increases in you and in me. Praise the Lord. Psalm 37, 3 and 6 says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. And you know that word delight means to be soft and pliable. If you're trying to be hard with the Lord, it don't work. If you're trying to tell him what to do and how he should do it, it don't work. I'm telling you, if you've got something going on with you, you need to, instead of quit trying to tell him what to do, you need to get soft and pliable and say, okay, Lord, I'm just putting myself in your hands. And you know what I liken soft and pliable to? I liken it to clay. You know, you can have a lump of clay here, and if it's soft and pliable and it's got water in it, you know, it can be formed and fashioned into just about anything. And you know what? That's what we have to do, is make ourselves soft and pliable to him by submitting unto him, by giving ourselves to him, by acknowledging him in all of our ways, you know. And it says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, and he shall bring it to pass. And you know, the word commit there, the root word for that is to roll, or to roll away, or to remove. And you know what he's telling you to do? Roll your way out of the way, so that I can do it my way. You know, I think Jim might have sang that song one time from Frank Sinatra, I Did It My Way. I think I remember Jim singing that one time. And you know what? I think he changed the words a little bit, talking about being the Lord's way. But you know what? We need to roll our way out of the way, because it gets in the way.
Yes, it does.
It hinders. until we roll our way out of the way, his way can't really come to pass. And a lot of times, we stay in something a whole lot longer than we really need to stay in it if we would just get out of the way and say, Lord, I'm committing this thing to you. I'm getting myself out of the way. I'm going to quit trying to tell you how to do it, when to do it, and where to do it at. And I'm going to start saying, Lord, I'm going to stand back and see the salvation of my God. I'm going to stand back and see your wonderful, mighty hand work and move and flow. And wow, what a difference that makes, folks. What a difference. You know, and the next verse says, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as light, and thy judgment as the noonday. And you know, when he brings forth his righteousness as light, because that's the only righteousness that is going to be light anyway. Your righteousness is filthy rags. He imparts his righteousness to you. He inputs it in you. But I tell you what, when he brings forth his righteousness in you and starts to bring it forth, all of a sudden, the judgments, even the judgments you make, will be as noonday. And you know, I've said this before, but when I was a little kid, a lot of times I used to, we lived in apartments when I was real little that didn't have closets, because I'm old enough to where them old tenement buildings that you lived in didn't have closets. You had a shiffer robe, they called them. Anybody, most of you young people don't know what a shiffer robe is, but that was something where they opened the doors and you hung your clothes in there. Well, a lot of times, you know, you only had limited storage in a lot of these old apartment buildings. They didn't have closets in them. And, you know, I can remember going to bed at night, and we had those poster beds that had the big knobs on them, you know. And I can remember hanging my clothes on the end of the poster bed, you know. And I can remember laying there at night sometimes, and I was just a little kid, and sometimes waking up in the middle of the night and looking down at the end of the bed and thinking, somebody's standing at the end of my bed, and being scared. I mean, I really scared. I mean, you know, I thought, oh, no. I'd lay there and I'd think, oh, no, there's somebody standing down there. And usually it'd be almost dawn when I'd wake up, but I'd wake up sometimes and I'd see that. And I don't know how many times I did that, and I knew I hung my clothes on the end of that thing, but it just looked like a person. And I might hang some clothes there and maybe a baseball cap or something, and it just looked like somebody was standing at the end of my bed, scared to death. But you know, eventually the light started to break through the window as the dawn came. And the more the light came in, the more my vision increased. And after a while, I saw that that was nothing but my clothes hanging on the end of the poster bed. And I got news for you. When his light breaks forth in us, our judgments begin to change. We begin to see things for what they really are. Even someone who's irritating us or giving us a hard time or treating us bad or whatever, we begin to understand they're doing that because they don't know any better. They can't do any better at that point. But there's going to come a time when God will begin to move into their life, and then he can begin to change them. And what we need to do is pray for them and pray that God's light come alive in them, that they begin to see what's really happening in their life, you know, and where they, who and what they are in Christ. You know, and in 1 John 1, 5 through 7, it says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and that in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And you know, the word sin there, a lot of times, sin means to miss the mark. That comes from an old word that they used to use in the old days. When an archer would shoot at a target and he missed the target, they would call that sinning. You know, he sinned, he missed. And you know, a lot of people can't help that they miss the target, that they're still operating in the realm of sin, because they don't have vision enough, and they don't know where the target is. And we know where the target is. And I'm going to tell you what the target is. The target is we press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And that prize is that we will begin to see him as he is and be changed from glory to glory into that same likeness. And as we go along the way, sometimes we're going to miss the mark a little bit. We're not always going to hit the target dead on. You're going to find sometimes that old nature will rise up in you, and you'll find yourself saying or doing something that you shouldn't do sometimes. But you know the beauty of it is the minute that happens, the light that's in you will begin to let you know that you just missed the mark. And usually all you'll have to do is just say, Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that or shouldn't have done that. And you know what? He forgives you instantly. You know, my next scripture is John 16:33. And this is out of the Amplified Bible. It's not near as good in the King James Bible. So I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified Bible. And this was Jesus talking. And he said, I have told you these things so that in me you might have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you shall have tribulation and trials and distresses and frustrations. But be of good cheer. When somebody tells you to be of good cheer, they're saying, hey, be happy. Be happy. Don't be sad. Be happy. Be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Be certain. Be undaunted. For I have overcome the world. And you know Jesus has already overcome the world. But here's the rest of it. I have deprived it of its power to harm you. And I have conquered it for you. Wow, what a terrific scripture. He conquered it for you. Guess what? You don't have to conquer. He's already conquered it. And he conquered it for you. You know, we were down at the radio station this week, and I went down with Rich and them, and I told this little story when we were getting ready to close out. And this little girl was at her grandfather's house, and there was a jar there, and real nice. Pretty jar, and she stuck her hand down in a jar, and it got stuck, and she couldn't get it out. And the grandfather came back in, and he looked, and he says, well, honey, let me see if I can get your hand out of the jar. And they pulled and pulled and pulled, and they couldn't get her hand out of the jar. So they tried everything they could to get her hand out of the jar, and they just couldn't get it out of there. So finally, they decided to take her to the doctor. And they get her to the doctor, and the doctor tried putting something down in there to lubricate it and all this and that, and he pulled on her arm, couldn't get her hand out of the jar. So then finally, they said to her, well, just relax your hand. And she said, yeah, but I'll drop my penny. And I got news for you, folks. We're holding on to the penny too tight. If we're in a situation where we seem to be stuck, we can't get out of it, we're holding on to the penny too tight. A penny in this day and age is not worth hardly anything. But that little girl thought that was a treasure. And buddy, she was holding on for dear life to that penny. She wasn't going to let go. And guess what? Her hand wasn't going to come out of the jar until she did let go. And I got news for you. Your hand or your situation won't change until you're willing to release and let it go. Release it into God's presence. That's when his perfect peace will begin to come in. That's when all of a sudden whatever was restraining you or whatever was troubling you or whatever was keeping you in a situation to where you just felt like there was no way out until you release it into his presence. Then all of a sudden the hand comes out of the jar. Praise God. You know, when I talked to you last week about the lady that was taken with the issue of blood for 12 years, I told you that she had to humble herself. And she humbled herself before the mighty hand of God, really, is what happened. There was a ton of people around, and she had said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. And you know what? She not only said that, she did it. She reached out and she touched him. And you know, so many times in life, we'll tell the Lord, you'll say, oh, Lord, if you just do this, I'll do that. Well, a lot of times, what he's waiting for is for you to make the first move. He's there. He's here today. If anybody don't know him as your Lord and Savior, he's here today. You can know him very easily. All you have to do is just be willing to reach out and touch him as he goes by, so to speak. His presence is all throughout this building. You know why? Because you're here. His presence inside of you. And I just want you to know that so many times, if you find your life in a situation where you feel like you're bound up, open the hand and release it. Release it into God. And when you do that, you'll find that all of a sudden, that thing that had you so encumbered can just be slid off. Well, I'm not going to talk to you a real long time today. That's all I felt like I was supposed to share with you. If you all stand, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Anybody that doesn't know Jesus Christ, Cynthia, have you got anything you want to play or me? Nothing? Okay. If anybody doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, today is your day. Today is your day. All you got to do is just acknowledge him. And if anybody would like prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. And I tell you what a change your life will make. Just like with that woman, she had that issue of blood for 12 years. And she reached down and she tried to, she touched the hem of his garment and she was instantly released, you know. And, you know, for 12 years, she tried everything she knew to get that issue of blood stopped. But you know what? Everything she did didn't do anything to stop it. Her life was being poured out. And I'm just going to tell you today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to pray a prayer. And then if anybody wants to come up here, we'd be glad to pray with you. And sometimes, you know, the first step is always the hardest step for you. But after you make that first step, then it gets easier after that. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for your words, for truly their spirit and life. I thank you, Father, that you desire for us to move into that place of perfect peace. And the only way we're ever going to have perfect peace, Father, is to come to know the Prince of Peace, which is you, Jesus. To come to know you, Lord, and to know you intimately. And as we know you intimately, we invite you to come into our heart. That peace that passes understanding will begin to move and flow in your life. Father, I just ask you right now that if there's anybody that's holding on to that penny, so to speak, today, that thing that's really of no value, because a penny isn't even worth a penny anymore. You know, it's not even copper. It's actually a mixture now. But I tell you what, let go and let God have his way. Release that thing today and know that he's going to move in a special way in your life. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for your words. They are spirit and life. I thank you for everyone that's here today. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to just do your work, to move on lives, to encourage people to let go. If they've been holding anything, even against somebody else, let them release it today, Father. Let them come into that place of forgiveness and that place of just perfect peace, Father. It's only in your presence. That's the only place we ever are going to find it. And Father, in just Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all.